last year, right? Okay, so we're still trying to put the little final touches on the Avenue of Louis. Louis was the one who had this big breakthrough. Tell us that we want to determine whether we have a problem with Ein HaBeteres. The Kedushin, it only applies to a very, very certain type of shlichos, namely if it's a kitten-oriented shlichos, a Kedushin-oriented shlichos, then we run into a problem of Ein HaBeteres. If it's just a shlichos of Kol Tarku, it's just a shlichos of a mice in a scene or something, so that wouldn't pose a problem. That's why the Rimagash differentiated between the shlichos of Alach, shlichos of Kabbalah, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch, even within the Rimagash, differentiated between a shlich halachas aget and shlich halachas kedushin. That halachas aget doesn't really require a chalos kedushin because the get speaks for itself. Halachas kedushin is a different story because you require dibor for kedushin. That was really the top sentence of the other list. So we raised the question at the end of the show yesterday. That idea that you require dibor for kedushin, that's what makes or breaks the din of Ein HaBeteres. We were a little bit concerned about that, because we weren't even so sure why the din of dibur is true by kedushin. Now, the fact that it is true, that we know that's the Pesach Gemara, that kedushin, a maisi kedushin, without a dibur kedushin, is not a shvar mitzvah. But why it's so, we couldn't quite put our hands on it, couldn't put our fingers on it, why is it? Is it because it's an integral part of the chalos? It's kiyikach, almost has two parts to it, as the maisi and the dibur. Or maybe the dibur is really, really tangential. The goal of the dibur is just to make sure that we know what's going on. And if that's the case, that's just the bureau of Nilsa the Alma, that we found it hard to explain, that would be labeled in halacha, that would be considered as a beteiras, a kedushin type of a shlichus. So we left that issue kind of hanging a little way, just for that. You know the markers? You know the markers in my office?
Amidas?
Yeah. We bring there are two of them. If you bring both, you get one of them as a red. You would think I threw out the bad one already, but just, okay. So, we try to get a little bit of a better understanding what the nature of the din of dibur kedushin is. Is it really part of the etzem chalos kedushin, or is it just the bureau bill? So we started to throw around a couple of gemaras yesterday, and we didn't really come up with anything overly convincing. So we started talking a little bit about the gemara about the asukamil suinyan. We came to the realization that that doesn't really prove anything. Then we were about to start the shir, and we're about to begin now the next possible issue that may be able to prove for us what the nature of dibur is. And again, we're interested in what dibur is because we want to understand this out of the word properly. So there is a very, very famous shaila. Probably everyone who ever opened up a Masechta Kedushin made it all the way to the base. Even the yeshivas that learned slow, at least you made it to the Mishnah in the base. So there's a famous Rashi at the base of the Masechta Kedushin. It was the opening Rashi. The Rashi spells out for you how you go about doing Kedushin. So the base of it, Aleph Rashi writes, because of Rishar, it's the fourth line of the Rashi. The first bit of rice in the Gemara, Nisim lekesef, Hashem lekesef, ve'aymer lo harem kadeshtim. Shtar, kosiv lo adanir, apishen asher aprut harem kadeshtim. Be'abola, ve'amar is kashti be'biyav, kul yad be'kurai tam, be'am de'be'sham, v'shmofa. So Rashi spells out all three methods of Kedushin, and which of these three is like the other two. Rashi talks about kesef and bia requiring a maisa and a dibur, and v'shtar, Rashi is silent. Rashi didn't forget to mention dibur, it is so obvious from the context, the Rashi felt that it's not necessary to mention dibur because there is no dibur, because there is no need for dibur for kedusha shtar. Why is there no need for dibur for kedusha shtar? So usually in the Olamei Yeshivas, what's usually said is that, well, it depends. If you hold that dibur is an independent requirement, that kicha requires a maisa with that dibur, the whole both combined together, then there shouldn't be any difference between shtar and in contrast to kesavia. But if you hold that the whole role of dibur by kedushin is just the virus of davar, just to make sure that we all are aware that this is a kedushin ring, not a graduation gift. This is a bia, the shape of kedushin, not a bia's nos. So, b'medim b'lamurim that we require dibur to be mivar, that's for kesmu bia, because kesmu bia, objectively, could really go either way. It could be a ring for a gift, it could be kedushin, it could be nos, it could be kedushin. A shtar, what do you say about the shtar? State in the shtar. It says b'feirah, shereva kudeshes. What are you going to say? It's a birthday card. What are you going to say? Of course, it's a shtar kedushin. So for us, what do you need a dibur for? That's exactly what Rashi says in the spot. That there's no need of dibur a shtar kedushin because the very nature of dibur is just the baris adavar. This, of course, in contrast to who's the Mafluk in this Rashi? Everybody knows? Rashi and the Riff. So take a look at the Rashi and the Riff. Give a chance. Rashi and the Riff quotes the same exact story, except adds one word. He says Dibor in the context of Kiddush Ishtar as well. So Rashi and the Riff seems to be going down the route that Dibor is an integral part of Kiddushin. It's so integral that even when you have a Shtar, which is so obvious from context what it is, you still require Dibor. Rashi and the Riff seems to be going down another path. Again, Rashi wrote a lot of different maduras. Rashi rewrote his notes and notes and notes. So, you know, it's hard to know exactly when Rashi said when, who, what, where. So Rashi himself seems to have been back and forth throughout his lifetime, throughout this decree.
Most people think that Rashi and the Riff
wasn't actually Rashi. Need them, to, we're quoting Rashi. Yeah, it's not clear exactly where that could be. I'm not seeing that clear. And so somewhere from the base measure of Rashi, whether it was Rashi's pen, whether it was the Talmud of Rashi, somebody had this down. Somebody was not clear about this Nakuda. What exactly is the role of Dibur? Again, the Nakamina being in terms of Shtar. Do we have any other indications, any other sugyas that may shed any light on this topic, whether Dibur is an integral part of condition or not? So there's one last point before we move on to the next part of our sugya. But that's a sugya that appears on the Hamad days, back in the first part of condition. So the Gemara discusses a situation of a strange kind of a Kiddushin. The Gemara talks about on Hamad Beis, quotes a Bryce in the two dots right halfway through the page. Shtar Rabbanim Ketzer V'Kesef Nasim LaKesef Asher LaKesef Amo Lo Arim Gudeshes. He says the Gudeshes Mureses LaIndo is Gudeshva. Aval Hisha Nasta V'Amrahi. But what if she gives him the ring and she gives a Lashon Kedushin? Arim Gudeshes Ainim Gudeshes. So the Bryce is clear that he has to do everything. And if she tries to do everything, it's clearly not going to work. What the Gemara is not so sure about is, what if he does the giving and she does the speaking? So you have a little bit of a, you know, different version of what's going on under the chuppah, a little creativity under the chuppah. It's not the kind that we like. So he's giving the ring and she's saying, Harani Mekudesh is to call something. What do we say about that? So the Gemara is back and forth and back and forth. At least at one stage of the Gemara says, we don't know what to do. The suffix. What's the suffix exactly? Why should that not be acceptable? So Rashi has the following lines. So Rashi writes, Nasanu, Dami l'chiyikach ish, v'omrihi, Dami l'sikach ish ala ish. Rashi says that the whole issue in the Gemara about when he gives and she speaks, all revolves around one word. The magic word is yikach. Everything has to be yikach and not tikach. He's got to do everything and she can't be involved. The Gemara wants to know, well, what is that gzeres akos of kiyikach lo kisikach going on? Is that going on the Sina? Is that going also on the Dibur? So what impression do you get from Rashi? And the fact that Rashi here is incorporating into the suffix, into the Gemara, the word yikach and tikach, it almost smacks of what? Almost sounds of what? Almost sounds of which great achrenim? Which great rashimas? Almost sounds like Reb Chaim a little bit. Almost sounds like Reb Baruch Ber a little bit. That the Gemara is just trying to size up with this Gzeres HaKosov that he acts and she's passive. So which dimension of the Kedushin does that really depend upon? Does it only depend upon the Maisa, or does it also depend upon the Dibur? You get the impression from Rashi that the Dibur is part and parcel of the Kichas HaKedushin, which would fit much nicer into the Rashi. Maybe Rashi is right. It would fit a lot nicer into the Rashi on the Rif, perhaps. Again, I'm not saying it's absolutely totally zep, just the Mashmos of Rashi sounds a little bit that the Dibur is also part of the Kiyikach.
Can you say that Kiyikach just teaches that anything in the process of Kiddushin is to be done through the...
Okay, so again, so the question is this really part of the process of Kiddushin? If it's just almost a technical, you know, thing just to get, just for us to understand what's happening, but the end of a Kiddushin is... Okay, so that you can have to discuss that, okay, they have to figure it out.
The next question sounds like it's specifically on the...
Sounds like it has to be right. But you should just know, just for your own information, there are Rishonim who don't learn like this Rashi. The Torah quotes in the name of the Ramah, who says that the reason why the Gemara is not sure when Nasa Nuva Amri is good is because we don't really know what he wants. We're not sure what his intent was. He gave her a ring and didn't really explain what's going on, so it's unclear what his kavana was. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi said that there's something wrong with the Dibur. Yikach may require the Dibur being a Dibur being an Ishvah, Dibur being an Isha. The Torah and the Ramah is saying, there's nothing wrong with Dibur. Dibur doesn't really matter. The whole goal of Dibur is just to be revived what's going on. But when he does the speaking, that's a good Dibur. When she does the speaking, it's not a good Dibur. So it could be that that Machlokes Rishonim, Halvim Shah and Dafei, is good for the same mission, the same Chukim, the same Shah that keeps on repeating itself. What exactly is the role of Dibur? Is Dibur an integral part of Kedushin, or is it just merely there, just the Dibur? But I hope we get all a little bit tangential to our major Nakuda. A main thrust in our sugya is to try to understand the din of Eina B'Torah. So we're going b'ikvos this Avdi B'Lulim's Chiddush that B'Torah and not B'Torah is a function of which part is the Etzem HaChalois. In Geirishin, the Shulich L'Kabbalah is part of the Etzem HaChalois. By Nesidus, I get quite possibly not. When it comes to Kedushin, Bein the Kabbalah, Bein the Nesidus, and the integral part is the Chalois, even though we have a little bit of an issue with that last Tikkun of Yavim. Rabbi say, there's one last point in the sugya that the Rishonim discuss concerning the very essence of the din of Eina B'Torah. And it's a very famous Tosfos in the second Bible Masechet Gittin, where Tosfos puts the brakes on this din of Eina B'Torah. He slows it down to such an extent that the finish it almost doesn't exist anymore. The context of Tosfos' discussion was as follows. There is a Gemara in the second Bible, hopefully everybody still remembers this, where the Mishnah seems to say one thing, and the Gemara stops the Mishnah dead in its tracks. You can't possibly mean that. The Mishnah starts out, "Hakol k'shei l'chtav hazageh." Everybody can write again. The sefer doesn't have to be a man with a long white beard. Doesn't have to be anybody special. "Hakol k'shei l'chtav hazageh." Chay reshait about everybody. Everybody can write again. Chay reshait v'katav also write again. He goes, "What? Are you kidding? A chay reshait v'katav can write again. The halav what?" The Labri Dayan he knew. And therefore what? So the Labri Dayan, so whoop de doo. And therefore they get what? Unclear what the question was. So from the answer of the Gemara, we can figure out what the question was. The Gemara answers, no, we don't mean the Kotler's going to write it by himself. That means someone's going to stand over the Kotler and explain to him that he has to write up the Shema, called the Gol Omer Gavra. So the fact that the Gemara answered the question by saying, hey, wait a second, we can do it, we can create the Shema, we have the girl who instruct him. You see clear the Gemara's kasha was that the get's not written the Shema, right? But a lot of the data, the get's not being written the Shema. So the Gemara's kasha was, the get's not being written the Shema, because it's a lapar das. So the Gemara said, no, welcome to Eskina, and we figured out how to get around that problem. So the Gemara turns around and says, really, if once you tell me there's a principle called Gol Omer Gavav that can overcome any obstacles of Lishma, so the Chari, that should work for a Goy also. If you have a Goy writing again, and Yisrael is Omer Gavav, that should be great. What should be the problem? And that doesn't seem to be true. It seems to be a Mishnah that doesn't say that. So the Gemara is working with the assumption that it's not going to work. You can't have a Goy writing again, Yisrael Omer Gavav. And the Gemara poses the question, Lama Lo? What's the difference? If you accept the principle of Gol Omer Gavav, why can't you have Yisrael Omer Gavav? So the Gemara gives some very, very cryptic answer. Remember what was the Gemara's answer? A daita dinafshik of it. That, no, that's different. A Goy is different because suddenly Gol Omer Gavav is not going to fly for a Goy. Why not? So the simple meaning of the Gemara, the way Rashi takes the Gemara, the way the Rosh, other Rishon take the Gemara, what the Gemara simply is saying is a pure technical Matzias issue, that Gol Omer Gavav works by Katan. Yisrael Omer Gav doesn't work for a guy simply because the Katan knows how to follow directions, and he knows how to pay attention, and he's going to listen, try to cooperate. The guy's in La La Land, he's doing things on his own, he's not really paying attention, he's not interested, he doesn't know what we're talking about, and he's going to write the get, not necessarily Lishma. That's the pashtus in the Gemara, that there's no fundamental halachic difference between a guy and a Katan. It's purely a Metzias question. That's what Rashi says, almost beferish. As Rashi puts in a magic word in the Gemara, Rashi says, Shema lo kasa lishma. That maybe the guy didn't write lishma, which led the Achvarim to believe that Shema lo kasa lishma, but what? But Shema Therefore, Samach Marim, right? What if you would have, lo and behold, the goy, you would appoint the goy to write a get for you, and the goy wrote the get, and the get was delivered, and it happens to be that you're a kohen, so we would be very, very weary to let you remain married to your wife, because she may already be a grusha. We're not saying with absolute certainty that the get is no good. That seems to be one whole mahalach and rishonim. It's in fact this mahalach and rishonim that led to a tremendous kula, which was very, very relevant in the Middle Ages. It was a big problem in the Middle Ages, that the goyim were in control of all the crafts. Remember what that was called? Anyone remember your medieval history? The guild system, right? That if you wanted to be a shoemaker, you had to belong to the shoemaker union. If you wanted to be a tailor, you had to be a tailor. You had to be part of the guild. And the people who used to work the animal skins were the animal skinned guild. So in order to be part of the guild, there was one requirement. You know what the requirement was? You couldn't be Jewish. If you're Jewish, you were disqualified automatically. You couldn't own land. You couldn't be. You couldn't have a guild. You couldn't do anything. Fine. So the Rishonim had a big problem because they were trying to write Sefer Torah, trying to do what's called Ibra Eres Lishma. We're trying to prepare the animal hides, the animal skins Lishma. There's a dim in the Torah. You have to prepare the Ibra. The preparation of the skin has to be done the shape of Kedusha Sefer Torah. And the Goyim have monopoly on the business. They're not letting us do it. So come on, what do we do? How do we write Sefer Torah Bizman Hazeh? So the Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, Baruch Sefer Truma, who says he could do it for the following reason. Says Rabbeinu Baruch, how long does it take to do Ibra Or? What's that? Ibra Or. You take an animal skin, you throw it into the solution of water and salt and all kind of whatever stuff, whatever's in there, and eventually the skin gets off, it gets ready to work on whatever. You can tell how much I know about Ibra Or, and absolutely nothing. So it takes one step of the guy to drop the skin in. So that one second, the guy has to say, Hini Muchams on the shape of the Shetir Torah. So says the Rosh, says Rabbeinu Baruch, the guy can't hold up for one second. One split second, he can't say L'shaim Kedisha. Bishlam to have a goy write a get. They said, a long time to write a get. He said, now they write the whole get. So for the goy to hold the cup the whole time, that's what the Gemara means when it says, Akabudai did the Nashi Grove. But something that takes just a split second, even a goy can figure it out. So what do you see from that rush? How was he learning the Gemara of Akabudai did the Nashi? Was it a halachic statement of a chutla yavah that a goy can't create the Shema Mapadom? It was just saying that a goy most likely will have problems processing the long writing of the get. He won't be able to pay attention as long. He's not going to really be kavan on the shema. But if you have something that's very, very, very quickly, instantaneously, even the goy can figure it out. And there are other Rishonim who disagree with the Rabbeinu Baruch. But again, we're not learning that sugya right now. So comes the Gemara and says that the basic issue that's preventing a goy from writing a get is that issue of lishma. I mean, somehow can't get around it. Akhmedat Rashba prevents us from getting around it. So come Taisvis. But a slew of kashas against the Gemara. Comes Tyson and says, I don't understand the Gemara before. The Gemara is talking about the wrong topic. The Gemara is talking about the least of the problems. There are many, many more serious issues involved with the goy writing a get than a Torah that will disqualify the get that there is vada. So one of the reasons, says Tyson, is he's not a shliach. How's he going to be a shliach? Anyone ever learn Kedushin of Memalf? Atem Gamatem? How in the world can the Jewish husband appoint the Goyish Sefer, the Goyish scribe, to write the get? He's Labar Shlichus. So forget it. The whole thing is no good. The Oydish, the Hakshils. A Goy is what? Arsuyas. Tirvatayras. A Goy doesn't have any Kedushin. A Goy doesn't have any Kittin. The whole Parish of Beishin, the Chlal doesn't speak to Goyim. There is a parish of Beishas Ish for Goyim. There is a principle of marriage in the Goyish world that the halacha recognizes. How do we know that? Well, one of the shemits is Benayach. Mr. Goy and Mrs. Goy are married to one another. So that's Gili Arai. They're not allowed to stand people out with somebody else. So the Torah does recognize the institution of marriage in halacha in the Goyish world. But the marriage that Goyim have is not the same marriage that we have. What we have was a Chiddush HaTorah post Ma'amar HaSinai of Kedushas Yisrael. So Kedushas Yisrael is the prerequisite for Kedushin. Goyim don't have Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore male, they don't have Kedushin either. What kind of marriage do they have? That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Be'ulas Baal Yesh Lahem. It says in the Chumash, V'hi Be'ulas Baal. The Tzara is described as Avram wife, V'hi Be'ulas Baal. So the Gemara says, Be'ulas Baal Yesh Lahem. And the Goyim should know. So if you have a man and a woman living together, that's my wife. So that's called marriage. They don't have Kedushin. And all they had was Kedushin. She's not an Eshes Ish. She only comes an Eshes Ish through Be'ulas Baal. How do you break up the status of Be'ulas Baal? You're not going to give a get. A get doesn't make any sense for a goy. A get is a mafki of kedushin. Get is a matter of kedushin. If there was no kedushin to begin with, then there's no parish of gerushin. So how do you remove the status of an eshes ish? How does the status of bulas bal disappear in the goy shevelt api almocha? So nafkamina fasham is b'nei. How does it disappear? So the Rishami quotes machlokes about it. One opinion the Rishami says is that how does it disappear? It's an easy come, easy go. The same way it started, that's how it disappears. It started because the couple living together as husband and wife, it disappears, but they're no longer living together. So each one goes their own way. So they amicably they separate. They, each one goes their own path. They're no longer living together, ish for isha. So Mamela, she's always ish is ish. So she loses the status of ish is ish. That's one opinion. And the other opinion of Rishami is no, is that there's no way to break it. That a get is a chiddush haTorah. If not for the chiddush haTorah of get, would be until death do we part. I think that's what other religions quote. That the starting point is, you got married, you're married, you stop, that's it, you're forever and ever and ever. It's a binyan adayah in the full sense of the word. Kum to Torah Kedoshu, the Chiddush, it says you can be ma'after a Kedushu with a get, that parshu of a heter get was never given to the Musa Olam, so the taka stuck forever and ever and ever. So it's machlokes two days of Shabbos. It's machlokes two religions in the world today. So one religion in the world subscribes to, I mean, they used to subscribe to, that till death do we part. That means there's no way, they didn't accept divorce, they're nothing, it's zero. That was the background, those are a little about European history. Thus began, England became a Protestant because Henry VIII was not interested in remaining married, and the Pope wasn't interested in being martyred, being mafkir the Kedushin, so thus, a whole new entity of English history came into being. And other religions in the world today are believers in very easy. So easy come, easy go. You don't need a nice gerushin, you don't need anything. Just a couple separates and showing ice marriage.
According to that second opinion, is that saying that any woman who gets a legal divorce and then gets remarried, is she...
According to that one opinion in the Rishami, right, so it's impossible to, there's no such entity called Girish. So the Olam is Noib, like the other day in Rishami. So something in Rishami.
The cream on
there. Like Goyim is the one there anyway.
The whole thing
doesn't make any sense. So it doesn't make a difference for us, we're not asking the Shadow. So they all like the other day in Rishami. What?
We're being more Mikael, right? It comes out of we're more Mikael.
It's a different concept, right? It's a different concept. Okay, anyway, get back to that story. So one thing is absolutely crystal clear, that goyim have no shaychas, the kedushin have no shaychas, the gerushin, the whole parsha doesn't speak to them. So frek tais akasha, abba zoi, zayin abitayras. See, all the, madachan have a kenayin zayin abitayras, a goyim gomer, madachan zayin abitayras. So frek tais is two bond parshas in the morning. What's the gemara during us and pukling about whether the get written by the goyim is not lishma, maybe it is, maybe it's not, ahmadat the nafsha, hol chagadja. We have two very, very serious problems on our hands, which we cannot overcome by having Yisrael over the Gapa. Namely, it's there's no shlichos and there's no b'teris. So Tosfos answers two questions in one yisoy. They say if you have one kasha, it's a kasha. Two kashas is a teretz. Three kashas is a yisoy, and four kashas is a
shikol.
Okay, good. I don't know if I made that joke yet this year, but I should have made. Okay. So when you have two kashas, Tosfos comes up with a gevaldike mahalach. Comes to us and says that we misunderstood the ABCs of Gittin. Mishnayis and Mishnayis and Mishnayis talk about the Sofer writes the get. The husband very, very rarely is going to write the get himself. The Sofer writes the get. Where did that thing come from? A Sofer writes the get. So before I read this Tosfos, I thought, how could the Sofer write the get? Shteinuchum mishpachos laset the priestess. So the answer is, well, kiddush nafimah, kiddush lichos. That's the Pasha's Adorim, is that the Sofer is the Shaliach of the Baal. What leads me to believe that the Sofer is Shaliach Lebal? Because the Mishnah, the Gemara, say the Feirush, that Eino get Achi Yishmu Pir Megarish. That the Megarish, the Baal, must appoint the Sofer directly. We spoke about this, about the crazy case, when the husband appoints one Shaliach, then the Yerim Shaliach appoints the other Shaliach, and Bir Lemusu Shaliach. It goes without saying that the Sofer decides on his own, he's going to write again. All of a sudden, Reuben's sitting around and says, you know what? I think Shimon's going to divorce his wife tomorrow. I'm going to write a get right now. I was never appointed. So the mission is a dvar b'teilim. The get is for sure no good. So why is that? Because the nishlichas like ksivas like, yeah, that's what I would have said. Kum teilim says it's not true. There never was a nishlichas like ksivas again. L'hoi dvar miyod. I shtei nuchumish v'chasav lo sefer krisus. So you mistranslated that phrase. What does it mean v'chasav lo? So I thought in my translation it says v'chasav lo sefer krisus and the husband shall write the writ of bill of divorce. So it says doesn't say that in my chumash. It says and he shall write. Who is the he? the sofer, the writer, whoever writes the get, is called the Mechaz Lasev. There is no din of Ksivus Aval. The Hoyer Vamei Yom says Taisus. We misunderstood Pshat the pasuk. There never ever was a din of Shlichus. There was never din of Ksivus Aval. In Veil, there's no din of Shlichus. If there's no din of Shlichus, says Taisus, then everything makes perfect sense. Now we understand everything. Since there never ever was a din of Shlichus, so the Gemara didn't even address the question. The Gemara never asked, because it's not true. There never was a din of Shlichus. And now Tosfos gets at a punchline for us. So why didn't the Gemara ask for how lav b'nei krisos? No. The answer is of Tosfos is that the din of lav b'nei krisos is only true when there's a requirement of shlichus. We have no Gemara anywhere in Shas that Tosfos that talks about lav b'nei krisos in general terms. Where's the Gemara? The whole sugya hakol mikol kol lav b'nei krisos is on kedusha daf memalef. It's on Gittin Daf Chabez, Chavim, wherever it is, at the end of the Sefer Perek. Every time the Gemara talks about the klal of Eina B'Teiras, Eina B'Teiras is part of the parasha Shlichus. In order to be a Shliach, you have to, number one, be kosher to be a Shliach. That's number one. And number two, you have to be B'Teiras, that particular area that we're focusing on. So says Tosfos, once I pull the rug out from under you, once I tell you that there was never a din of shlichus altogether, if I see this again, because quite frankly, there was never a din of shlichus abal in the first place. So definitely it's an nefel binyan. Once there's no din of shlichus, there's no scholar, no second din of Eina B'Teiras. So in one fell swoop, Tosfos knocks out all the kashas. Tosfos says, the Gemara is gevaldik, the Gemara is moiridik. Why does the Gemara talk about Lishma? Because that's the only thing that mattered, nothing else mattered. Shlichus is Dvar B'Teilim, Eina B'Teiras is Dvar B'Teilim, everything is both of them. The only thing that really matters was Lishma. And that's why the Gemara never had to say, oh, the only reason why it's taka no good is because it's Akavad I did the Nashikrodi. So, of course, Tosfos has a lot of explaining to do. A lot of explaining to do. Because they have to address a sugya that we spoke about earlier, namely, but there is a din of what? There's a din of Tzivu Hebal. I mean, you can't get rid of that. That's a Mishnah. That one has 20 Mishnah. Gemara is the first. Ein li oilam eino get achi yishmur bi habal. So what do you mean there's no din of shlichus? What's Tosfos talking about? There's no din of shlichus. So it's clear that Tosfos understood that the din of Tzivu Hebal is based on something else. It's not based on shlichus. What is it based on? So the Rishonim use a different nuance, which is very hard to understand. But the Rishonim basically developed the following yisayit. He says a little bit of Rashba, a little bit more. Other Rishonim have the din of Tzivu Hebal is not really a din of shlichus. Tzivu Hebal is necessary because without Tzivu Hebal, as the chisaron is felt in what? In the lishma. That somehow, without being authorized to do so, you don't have the ability to create lishma, and that's the problem. Does anyone really, really, really understand that equation? I'm living next door to a couple. I hear them screaming at each other. I know he's staying. We're going to Beis Din tomorrow morning. She says, great, we're all going. And I know they're getting divorced. I know he wants to leave. It's not like I'm just sitting around and writing, getting for everybody in town in case somebody gets into a fight. So you can argue that, all right, that's not really lishma. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm saying it, l'shaim, l'ish, l'shaim, l'ish, l'shaim, g'ayish. Everything, lishma, lishma, lishim, g'ayish. And it's still not called lishma because I wasn't appointed. How do you understand that? Anyone understands that? I don't understand. I try really, really hard to explain what's pshat. It's very hard to understand. But as I state in Rishayim, that if your whole life basis that there's no din of shlichas like Sivus Aval, then you have to fall somehow and hide behind this kind of a new din called the Shema, and the Shema requires Tzivu Hebal. So I'll call upon him. We're getting back to our Tosfos. So Tosfos just solved for us two problems. What happened to the Shlichus issue? What happened to the Teiras issue? One fell swoop, they're both gone. So basically, who's the Bar Plukta of Tosfos? Which Rishon do we know for a fact doesn't agree to Tosfos' entire theory? We're not sure how much of the theory they disagree with, but for sure part of the theory? The Rambam for sure disagrees with part of this theory. Why? As long as the Rambam writes, and then the Rambam lists off all the different people who can't write a get. So one of the people on the list is an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani cannot write a get. At least the Rambam thought so. An Eved Kenani can't write a get. And why can't an Eved Kenani write a get? The Rambam says, lo and behold, because the end of the Torah is the end of the Kedushin. Now we know an Eved Kenani is the end of the Torah, that's our Gemara. But the Rambam took our Gemara, which was talking about Shlichus, and plugged it into Ksivus HaGet. So the Rambam Shnei Perfei, Rosh Black and White Rambam says that an Eved Kenani is possible to write a get. It's possible, and he gives the reason of Ein of the Torahs. And the question is, what conclusion can we draw from this Rambam? We know that he disagrees with Tosfos. Tosfos would never have said such a thing. But we're not quite sure which Nakuda, or both of those perhaps, disagrees. So it could be that the reason why the Rambam applies Ein of the Torahs to Ksivas Aget is because the Rambam really believes that you require what for Ksivas Aget? You require Shlichus. So it could be that the reason why the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos is that he's undermining the underlying premise. The whole sugya, according to Tosfos, was denying the requirement of Shlichus for Ksivas Aget, and therefore Ein of the Torahs fell by the wayside. And the Rambam may stop Tosfos in the tracks, it's not true. That there is a din of Shlichus Maksivas Aget, again, which is the simple pshat in the Gemara, and that's what anyone would have said before Tosfos even started. Instead of coming up with a razzle-dazzle pshat that Tzivya Baal is based on the Shmos, you don't really understand, this is the much simpler approach. Now, this is not just Rambam. There are Tosfos that say this also. The Tosfos earlier in Masechet Gittin that disagrees with this Tosfos that he base. So we know in Rishonim it's not clear. So it's very, very possible if the reason why the Rambam is the Tosfos says they stop Tosfos in the trap, they said, oh, don't tell me so fast you don't need shlichus. You do need shlichus.
In the series we spoke about kneeling and sir, the shliach, wasn't the case there that someone appointed the shliach to write again?
Right. So the question, so what...
Was that real shlichus?
Was that real shlichus, right.
Was that real shlichus?
Yeah, the Gemara did talk about shlichus there. The Gemara did say kneeling and mishlo shliach. So the question is how shlichus was that really? Well, maybe we overdid it with the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam agrees to what Tosfos said that there really is no shlichus necessary for Ksivas Aget. But the part that the Rambam disagreed with was this part. Tosfos came with the Gevaldige Chiddush in the Sugya B'Teiras. Tosfos says, you know what the engine drive the Ein of B'Teiras is? When you know shlichus, then you need B'Teiras. And why don't you exit the parasha of shlichus that we don't care about the Torah anymore?
I don't think someone's ready.
Maybe the Rambam disagreed with that very Nakuda. Maybe the Rambam held that Tosfos is right on the shlichus part, but they're not right on the Torah part. Because again, Tosfos has made two premises. It's a classic. It's Lomdus 101. A Rishon comes up with a certain Chiddush, and the Chiddush was based on two premises. Now, other Rishon disagree with the Chiddush. Which of the premises do they disagree with? So one way of learning the Rambam is he disagrees with the first premise. Several of them in the Rambam disagrees with the second premise. So it could be that Tosfos and the Rambam are on the same page vis-a-vis shlichus, that there in fact is no shlichus for Ksivas Aget. But whereas Tosfos said, one says no shlichus, so Mabela we're not concerned with Ein of HaTorahs, the Rambam says no. Ein of HaTorahs stands on its own two feet, but Ein of HaTorahs exists even in the absence of shlichus. So it's this second beer in the Rambam that we're going to go with for a moment, because this is much closer to our sugya. We are learning the sugya of Ein of HaTorahs. So if we are right, in the second beer of Machlokes Tosfos and Rambam, we have a major machlokes going on here now. What is Ein of HaTorahs all about? What is the essence of this din of Ein of HaTorahs, Kitvei Kedusha? So according to Tosfos, it's clear as day that Ein of HaTorahs is a what kind of halacha? It's a shlichus halacha. Ein of HaTorahs is one of those conditions that the Torah gives us in Ochah Shlichus. We know a lot of things about shlichus. A goy is not good for shlichus. We'll learn hopefully when Tisha B'Av starts to sing. So the kotel is not good for shlichus. But one of the new conditions of shlichus is not only do you have to be a gavra who's in general kosher for shlichus, you have to be somebody who's within this parasha itself. And you can have examples of people who are in generally kosher for shlichus, but specifically not in the same area. Like the example of Nebuchadnezzar. That's exactly what Rabbi Yechon said in Daf Memel. That Nebuchadnezzar can't be shlich l'kabal seget because yes, he's a ben bris, but no, he's not b'tayrus. So according to Tosfos, Ein of HaTorahs is a prop in Hilchos Shlichus. If we're right in the Rambam, that the Rambam agrees to Tosfos that there's no Shlichus or Ksivus again, and he still insists on HaTorahs, that puts a whole different spin on HaTorahs. So what kind of halach is Ein of HaTorahs? What kind of din is that? What kind of halach is that? What do you think Ein of HaTorahs is?
In the Gavra.
I would say it's a did prati in each and every area of halacha that we find such a concept in halacha that if you want to be able to participate in a certain halois taking place, you have to be part of the team. You have to be part of the parasha. A stranger can't participate in the creation of a halois that is not doing a shlichus. There's absolutely nothing at all to do with shlichus. I'll give you mashum b'davda. Who's going to give me a few mashalim? Give me a few areas of halacha where we find such a concept that there's a certain chalais that we're trying to create, and if you're not, if this chalais doesn't speak to you, you can't create this halacha. This is the world of Torah. This is the world of chalaisim. It's not just a physical action. When something takes place in halacha, it's not just a physical mice that's being done. There's an endowing of something. There's a kedusha that's being endowed, or a psul that's being endowed, or a kasha that's being endowed. There's some change in the metaphysical world. In order to do that, this world, you have to be part of that world. So where do we find such an idea? There's not no shlichus bechalal. Where do we find such a marshal?
An aro can shech from Pesach.
What's that?
An aro can shech from Pesach.
That statement is not an aro can't eat from Pesach. An aro actually can shech from Pesach.
A minion?
Means you have to be chayav in order to be a minion. Okay, it's an interesting idea. Okay, I'm going to try to think of more of almost like creation of chaloisim.
A woman can't do milk.
Oh, so we spoke about this, right?
Yeah.
We spoke about this. According to one opinion, a woman wouldn't be acceptable to be a mohelet or a goy. According to one opinion, the Gemara can't be a mohel. So that's part of this type of halacha. That you want to create the chalois mohel, the chalois has to speak to you. But that's a good example. Potentially a good example. Remember any of the others? There are a lot of them. A lot of them. Mishnah says that a goy can't be a shochet. That's what I thought you were going down. A goy can't be a shochet. Why not? Why can't a goy shech? Mishnah never explains what. Mishnah in Chulin, goy can't shech. So Taisus and the Rosh and the Gemara says Chulin suggest. There's not many Gemara that says they suggest it's based on the pasuk that says there's vach the kasher to be sicha. Only someone who's mitzuv in shchita is kasher to be shechet. If shchita speaks to you can create a chalash shchita. If shchita doesn't speak to you can't create a chalash shchita. A goy is not given the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah available, but can he trade for meat? So the shechita doesn't speak to the goy, it's not in the parish, and mainly can't do it. It's like an ain of a terrorist. We'll give one more example.
According to logic, we need to prosecute.
Wait, hold on. Who has another possibility? Any others? Good. That's exactly what I was looking for. The Gemara says, Masechet Gittin Daf Mem Hei, that a woman can't write parshas and tefillin. A katan can't write parshas and tefillin. What? Why? Uksharta mechsaftam. Right? Mi she yeshta b'taras kshira, yeshta b'taras ksiva. You're not b'taras kshira, and b'taras ksiva. So the common denominator between all those examples that we just gave you, mila, which is like this, shchita, which is a taiz and a rosh, is chedesh and a gemara, ksiva, sefetat, v'muzuzas, which is a gemara, b'sechas gittin. The common denominator between all of those is that these are specific areas of halacha that the Torah says you have to be b'tairas in order to accomplish a certain chalois or to create a certain cheftza. See, the same Torah tool is not so much a chalois, it's more of a creation of a cheftza. Shchita is more of a chalois, same type of an idea. And you have to be in the parish, you have to be basically part of the team, part of the group in order to create that chalois and that cheftza. The common denominator is that we need a pasuk in every single one. If we're suggesting is correct, in any of the teras by Gittin is not in the new shlichus. It has to do with Gittin. Any part of the participation in a get, whether that part requires shlichus, it doesn't matter. The writing of the get is a clearly important participation in the gerushin. The creation of the chetz of a get requires someone who's the teras. You're going to need a pasuk for that one. Do you have a pasuk for that one? So there's a Rashi in the first Pesach Masechet Gittin that dug up the pasuk. Rashi claims that there's a pasuk. The Gemara never says the pasuk. Don't blame Rashi. The Gemara doesn't say pasuk Masechet Gittin either. Rashi says, you know what the mokar of Eidim B'Torah says? The chosav and nasan is up to Rashi. The Torah speaks about Sivas again and Sivas again in the same breath. Says Rashi, almost like guessing. Rashi's not making a B'Torah. He's guessing what the Stama Chazal had this tradition, this Rasha. The Mishi Yeshno B'Nasina Yeshno B'Ksiva. Only someone who can really give the get. Giving a get means you have to be someone who can create a chalais of gerushin. only the person who created Chalas Gerushin should participate in any of the steps along the way. The Ksivas again, the delivering of the Gerushin, you name it, you have to be a Megarish, you have to be a Megarish, you have to be someone who Hilchas Gittin speaks to you. You are part of the parish, you're not given the Chalas of Gerushin. Someone who is never given the Chalas of Gerushin, either you have a Kanaan or a Goy, are out of bounds. They're an Enam B'Teiris. So Rashi solves the riddle by quoting, yeah, there is type of apostle. Rishonim who don't quote this Rashi, other Rishonim who say that it's not based on apostle, it's not a din of gear, they would say, I'm not an apostle for it. It's the ABC of the Shlichos. Shoshan Kamais, how in the world are you going to create the Chalais if you can't create the Chalais? You're going to be the Baal? How in the world? It's bad enough. It's hard enough that Torah says Reuven can become Shimon. Shimon's the one who's married, and Reuven all of a sudden hopes this becomes the Megarish. So that makes sense, at least of what? At least if Reuven's something, at least if Reuven's in the Barsha, I can understand how he serves the Shaliach. But how in the world can Reuven be the Shaliach if he himself can't do it? So those Rishonim were learning that Enam B'Teiris is much closer to the model Shlich, it's much more of a Chisar and Shlichos. That's Taisa Shita. That's what Taisa been given of Gimel. That's Taisa says that Enam B'Teiris is only when there's a problem with Shlichos. Seems to get Taisa's suggesting it's not a problem, never requires this in the first place. And remember, there's no din of Enam B'Teiris b'Ksiva. And the Rambam disagrees, either because the Rambam held that the Taka is a din of Shlichos for Ksiva Seget, or even if there's no din of Ksiva Seget, Afa Bichain, it could still, there can exist a din of Enam B'Teiris independent to the din of Shlichos. This idea that the Ein B'Teiris is almost a din of shlichus, according to some Rishonim, it's almost a din of shlichus. According to Taisus, it's a subcategory of shlichus with no mocha. Rashi doubled the mocha because he was learning the top base of shlichus. According to Taisus, who all the Talmud said the biggest belief is the din of shlichus. So what's it based on? Let's say it a little bit clearer. I fudged it a little bit before. Let me get a little clearer. What's it based on? But it's the Gemara is almost not saying Atem. Remember, the Gemara is saying that even without the Gemara, it's the Kasha. What do you need an Atem for? Typically, the Ein B'Teiris. Almost the Ein B'Teiris stands on its own 2 feet, even before Atem. So it's a Chavon Echad. It's a bit of a Svar Nuch HaShlichus. What's as far as that?
Could it be based on the Yichas
of the Gemara? So you guys are very into the Yichas and the Atem part. You're into the Mas Binyamin part. I want to kind of stay away from Atem. The Pashas of the Gemara here in our sugya is that this stands on its own 2 feet. You can't do it. If you're an independent, you can't be a shlich.
If you understand that the shlich takes the place of the ball.
So think about that a little bit. Start to think about it in terms of those things. I don't know, did we speak about this yet this year? The Ram in the door?
It's on Monday.
It's on Tuesday, of course. Oh, wait a minute. We both must have spoken about the Ram in the door.
We
talk about the Ktos, right? When did we talk about that? Back by the Shiva Group, we spoke about it. Shiva Slich. There was a famous Machlokes between the Rambam and the Tor that the Ktos made famous because he gave his famous beer to it. What exactly the word Shluch Shom Kabosu means? I mean, we're learning Shlich for the last 5 weeks. I have to mention at least once or twice. Gemara says, in the beginning of the seventh parak, we said, it's Gittin, that if a husband appoints a shaliach to give a get to his wife, and then the husband becomes a shaita, so the shaliach is not allowed to deliver the get. He delivers the get, he gets no good. The husband still has to be has to be a bardas at the time of the nesidus again. So the Rambam has a startling statement when he quotes that Gemara. Do you remember what the Rambam says? He says, what if the husband goes, what if the shaliach goes ahead and gives the get anyway, while the husband is about la bardas, how bad is the get? Says the Rambam. Not so bad. What does he say? Possible. Possible. What's a possible get between friends? Says the Rambam. It's only possible with the Rambam. Minotaur the get is good.
I thought we said possible was the lashon of completely
demure. No. Possible is the lashon only with the Rambam. Bottle means that it's so wrong. So the Rambam is a startling statement. The Rambam said it was Gavishin, that he was appointed, once he was appointed as a shaliach, if the husband was a la bardas when he appointed the shaliach to this kinshlichus. But the husband was appointed the guy to deliver the get. And the Nesina Zichah for sure requires shlichus. But the Ksiva does it now, we don't know if the Nesina Zichah requires shlichus. So when Reuven appoints Shimon to give the get, and now Bishas Meisim sees the get. Reuven is the lover of Das. The Shaita. So the Ram writes the get is only no good mitzvah Rabbanu. Minatayr it's good. And the Torah writes what he talked about. I'll say no get. It's bottom minatayr. What's the point of Kadesh? What's the point of Machalik? So the Tzais is a famous Biur, and the Tzais explains the issue is what does Shulchan Kamosa really mean? Who is the real Megarish? Who is the Baal HaChalais right now? Who is creating the Chalais Gerish right now? The Rambam seemed to understand that the Shliach Mamish steps into the shoes of the Megarish. He becomes the Megarish. The Shliach is the Megarish, and therefore the Shliach is a Bardas. So if the Shliach is a Bardas, look, Papi, that the husband's not a Bardas. What do I care about the husband's? The Shliach is the Megarish. So Abba Zoi, if he's a Bardas, he's going to be a Megarish this woman. And the Torah seemed to understand, no, says the Ketzais, that Shulchan Kabbas Matein tomorrow just means that the Maisa, the Sinus Aget that the Shalich is doing is Mesiach is back to the Baal, but the Emes Megarish, the Baal HaChalois, is the husband. And therefore, how in the world can you create a Chalois of Gerishin if you're a Lav Bardas? That doesn't make any sense. Famous part from Ketzais. So I was thinking, if you hold that the Shliach Mamish becomes the Megarish, he is the Megarish, isn't it obvious that he has to be what?
He has to be Torah.
How in the world could he pull off a stunt of a Chalais Gershon if he's not a Bar Hochi to do such a Chalais? But if you hold that, that's not really what a Shliach is doing. A Shliach is just merely going through the motions of the Maisa Get. But the real Emes Gerushin is still back in the court of the Megarish, of the husband. So then what? It's such a Svara Pshuta that you require Betairus. Hilcha Shlichas dictates you require Betairus. Maybe, maybe no. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea why it should. So according to what we're saying, that we think that according to the Rambam is really a big believer of Betoras being what? What do we think the Rambam thinks Betoras is? Taisus was a big believer that Betoras is a part of Parsha Shlichus. The Rambam, we're not sure what the Rambam holds. We're not sure because we know that the Rambam applies Betoras to Ksivus Aget. But we're not sure, does that indicate that he holds that Ksivus Aget does require Shlichus? Well, the Rambam believes that somehow the Torah is not really part of Shlichus. If this other Rambam, if the Tzoyis is right in the beer of the other Rambam, the reason why the Rambam says that the get is only possible is because the Rambam really, really believes that the Shliach becomes the Megarish, she's the Baal HaChalais. That's the engine that's driving the fact that the get is still kosher, notwithstanding the Lav HaDas of the Shliach. That would probably tilt the balance in this Rambam. Because that would probably lead us to believe that if the Rambam has this grandiose vision of Shlichus, that the Shlichus becomes Mamash the Megarish, the corollary of that grandiose vision should be that you have to be Betoras for that. And Hilchos Shlichus itself dictate the din of Betoras. If that's right, again, we're putting a couple things together. This is not Muchach, far from Muchach, but we're just thinking out loud a little bit. That according to the Tzos' understanding of that Rambam, and according to the different ways of reading this Rambam, it would be much nicer if the Rambam was an Ein Betoras Shlichus type of a person. We would like to have the Rambam in Tzos' camp in terms of the basic understanding of Ein Betoras to fit nicely into that other Rambam. Again, it's possible, because we ultimately don't know why the Rambam disagrees with Tzos. We don't really know why the Rambam ultimately disqualifies the Nebuchadnezzar. We don't know whether it means that he holds Ein Betoras as Shlichus, not Shlichus. We don't know. Again, it's just a liesis ace, kind of almost like connect some of the loose threads, and if a shlichus put some of the pieces of the puzzle together. Okay. But basically, any last questions about the Betoras? Yeah.
Isn't the
Rambam in
Beis
Aleph? So that Rambam is very, very unclear.
There are
different ways of reading that Rambam. The Rambam is not clear. There are some Achorim will draw one conclusion, while two other will draw the exact opposite conclusion. Okay, basically, we'll get an extra you just a couple of minutes. So we spent a lot of time talking about shlichos and talking about different people who are disqualified to be shliach. And we mentioned a little bit, we spoke about a goy, we spoke about the fact that a katan also cannot appoint a shliach. But unlike a goyim, where the Gemara is very clear what the source for it is, a tem gamadem, the mind is akom, when it comes to a kata not being able to find shuliach, it's significantly less clear. The fact that it can't happen, that's clear. Why it can't happen is what's not clear. So let's take a look at, we'll move on to Membeizim and Aleph. That will be the same event more than a daf in the last 5 weeks because we just skipped the Ramah. So the Gemara is trying to look around for different possible makaris for shlichos. Again, we came up with a whole bunch of makaris. The Gemara is suggesting a few others. So in the middle of Membeizim and Aleph, the Gemara questions the following. First one is the Ella. About a third of the way down, a little more third of the way down. Hadi Amar Rav Gidla Marav, Minayin Shushan Kamaisir. Rav Gidla Marav said another possible mokah for shlichos. Shenema v'nasi echa nasi echa minate. The Pasuk says, at the end of Pashas Masay, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu appoints a nasi for each of the shvatim, and the job of that nasi was to coordinate all the transactions, all the real estate, all of the shevet, osher, gets the X amount of land, now you have to divide it up. So each nasi had its, each shevet had its nasi, and Rav Gidla Marav said that the role of that nasi was to do all the buying and selling, all the maneuvering, and that he was pretty much a shliach of everybody. So rather than having 100,000 people fighting it out, you had one guy doing all the dealings for everybody, basically the principle of shlichus. So the verse says, table of shlichu mehoch. How come this is not one of the official sources for shlichus? Why do you have to go run to Shulchan? You gotta go run to Truman, you gotta go run to Korn Pesach. What happened with this Paschal Vashas Masay? Does that really make sense to you? That's shlichus. Do you think that's really shlichus? That couldn't have been shlichus, because after all, we all know there were kids under the age of a mitzvah who were also getting chalak from Eretz Yisrael. Anyone here learns Dafyam with these days? So in Yeshnachon, these are the sugyas, these last couple of days in Yeshnachon, how they divided up Eretz Yisrael, the Yosef Mitzrayim, by Eretz, etc. So there were some kids under the age of a mitzvah who were getting some Yerusha. So how did that work? If you're going to tell me that the role of the Nasi was to be the shaliach of Klal Yisrael, of each and every individual Jew, so it turns out the shlichus for ketanim, which is a non-starter, that's out of the question. No lo hayud v'me'olam, there should be a shlichus for a ketanim, and therefore this parasha of Nasi Yachid cannot be talking about shlichus. What is it talking about? The Gemara tries another time. Maybe it's talking about zochler or shofar, maybe it's talking about apotropos. The Gemara tries very, very hard. It'll finally identify what exactly the meaning of these pesukim are. But one thing it's not, the Gemara says, it's crystal clear, it's not shlichus. And why? What prevents it from being shlichus? Because ain't shlichus akotin. So it's clear for the Gemara that's a din deraisa. If the whole din of ain't shlichus akotin would have only been a somehow chumah min derabana, then the kasha wouldn't have been a kasha. So the Gemara is saying, you see, clear as day that this parsha, this pesukim and chumash cannot be going down the road of shlichus because ain't shlichus akotin. And how do you know ain't shlichus akotin? How did Chazal know that? What was the starting point of ain't shlichus akotin? Not a word of the Gemara. So Rashi shows you, and Rashi writes, the ha haboktan, the nechle arts. And how did Chazal know the ancient Zakata? They got the Shiloh, the Shulcha Ish Ksiv, Kikach Ish, and we know Yafin and Dana Katras Shulch. So it states the word Ish in the Parsha of Gittin, and the Shiloh, the Shulcha is one of the Bekaris for Shulchas. And therefore, from here we know Ain Katras Shulch. Now Rashi writes, we know Yafin and Dana Katras Shulch. It almost sounds like Rashi, that Rashi's calling you a Gemara. The Rashi's saying, oh, by the way, Aye, Babitzina, by an Aleph, and that's the source. The Gemara says, Menon immediately, Ainshtar Zakatan, Ish, Kika Chishisha. There's no such Gemara. The Gemara that Rashi is quoting is the Gemara that says, Ainshtar Zakatan. But the Gemara doesn't say what the source of that din is. So we're back to where we're conditioned on today's. We're still in the dark. We know there's din mentioned. We have Gemara's very shadow deraisa. There's no shadow that's a din deraisa. But we're still not quite sure what the mocker is. And Rashi says, I'm telling you what the mocker is. The mocker is because ish ksiv parasha. What's parasha? Which parasha? The parasha of kikach chishisha. So everything is hinging. All of the inability of a katan to appoint the shuliach is hinging upon the fact that ish ksiv parasha kikach chishisha. And as we all know, a katan kept from kikach chishisha. That's obvious. Is it obvious? Is it as obvious as Rashi makes it sound? So we have a work cut out for us, because if everything in Shlichos, any chisaron of a katan in Shlichos is dependent upon the chisaron of a katan in Kedushin, it behooves us to try, hopefully, to understand, well, why is that so partial? What is the meaning of that phrase? Kika cheshisha ishtamai desakotam. Is there such a drasha? Where's that drasha? Who's that drasha? So hopefully, Beit Hashem, tomorrow we're going to pick up from that nekuda that Rashi began to introduce to us, and hopefully, let's use this a little bit of a springboard to understanding what the din of Beit Hashem becomes. Remind everybody tomorrow, Shira, about 11 o'clock.